Hello, everyone. Welcome to Full Press NHL Podcast here as the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. I'm your host, Jim Berenger. You can find this podcast along with everything else around Full Press coverage on fullpresshockey.com, fullpresscoverage.com, as well as Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm recording tonight on Megaphone as we look at the second round of the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs, and they are just underway at the time of this recording. The Tampa Bay Lightning lead the Florida Panthers 1-0 in their series, taking game one by a score of 4-1. And that's where we'll begin the Battle of the Sunshine State, the rematch from the 2021 Stanley Cup playoffs, where the Tampa Bay Lightning defeated the Florida Panthers 4-2. En route to their second straight Stanley Cup. One of the factors and keys to that series was the Panthers staying out of the penalty box. Again, everybody points to Nikita Kucherov coming back from IR. This was his first game play. He had been skating with the team. He had been accustomed to that power play and, you know, $18 million over the cap and all that fun stuff during their parade. But again, it was the Tampa Bay power play that came up strong in game one. As round two gets underway, they were down 1-0. They rattled up four straight goals, three of which were power play goals. The Florida Panthers have to stay out of the penalty box. It did them in last year. It's going to do them in this year. They cannot make the same mistakes, the Panthers, that is, they did against the Capitals in round one. They were lucky to get out of that series. The Washington Capitals had him dead to rights in game four, had him dead to rights in game five. The reason that Florida Panthers were able to get away with that is because of bad icing the Capitals made in game four, led to a tying goal with the extra attacker. Carter Verhaeghe played out of his mind, 12 points in that series. The Washington Capitals were up 3-0 in game five. A bad turnover by TJ Oshie allowed the Florida Panthers to get their transition offense going again, getting pucks deep, and then the overtime in game six as well to advance for the first time since 1996. If you want to throw that party, I think they want to throw the party when the Stanley Cup happens. However, if you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, they had a grueling series against Toronto in seven games. They started to find their game late in that series. Again, they improved their record after a loss since 2020 in the Stanley Cup playoffs to 17-0. The last team to beat them was the Columbus Blue Jackets in 2019 when they swept them out of the playoffs. But Andre Vasilevsky looked really good in game six, period three, and into that overtime. And he carried it in game seven against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was the reason Tampa went on. And it wasn't the reason the Maple Leafs advanced. And he continued that play into game one against the Florida Panthers. He made big time saves when his team needed it the most against the Panthers when they were up 1-0. Even when the game was tied and when Tampa took the lead 2-1, Vasilevsky was there. He's finding his form. Yes, did the Leafs expose him and make him human? Absolutely. But Tampa was able to find their game, but because the Toronto Maple Leafs gave them a free game. You cannot give a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning a free game in the playoffs to find their mojo and to find their game, because the first three games, Tampa Bay did not look like they belonged with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yes, they had won game two, but two bad games in game one and game three against the Leafs. This series should have been Toronto's series to win and knock out the champs. However, the champs get a free game. They start rolling. Nick Paul gets his first two career playoff games. Third line looks good. They're playing defensively. John Cooper's got this team believing and saying the right things, because before game seven, people asked him, oh, hey, if you lose, does the sting of two championships, you know, going to cover this loss? He's like, hell no, it's not. He's like, we're on the cusp of greatness. We're knocking on. We have an opportunity here. We want to knock this door down. They want this three-peat, the first modern three-peat since the New York Islanders did it. They've won nine straight playoff series. They look good in game one. There's a lot of hockey left in that series, and a lot of people hope it goes seven. But the Stanley Cup champions are champs for a reason, and they look good. They're playing good defense. I think that extra game helped them find their game a little bit more, no pun intended there. But the Panthers, having a little extra time, they have to work on the power play. Sergei Bobrovsky was not the reason they lost this game against Tampa Bay. will not be a reason. Look, Tampa Bay's power play is deadly even without Braden Point, but the Panther power play has to score. 0 for 21 in the playoffs, 0 for 3 in game one, not going to cut it. It's not going to get it done. And you know what? If Tampa's going to continue to score on the power play, this series might be short. Everybody hopes it goes seven, but the champs are the champs for a reason. And they're on a mission to three-peat, and they have the talent to do it. Kucherov took over. Perry looks good. Their depth scoring is there, and Florida's going to have to keep up with a superior team right now. If they want to be like Tampa, they're going to have to beat Tampa. And I just don't know if anybody can do it this year. Until somebody knocks them off, the champs are the champs, and the champs are the favorites until somebody beats them. Moving on to the Colorado Avalanche St. Louis series in round two. This is going to be a fun series to watch for people who want to watch it. It may not get play in Canada like it should, but this is going to be a knockdown dragout series. The Achilles heel for the Colorado Avalanche over the last couple of years has been the second round. Nathan MacKinnon talked about it, not getting out of the second round. He was disgusted when they lost to Vegas, disgusted when they lost to Dallas. This is an opportunity for the Colorado Avalanche to take the next step and show us why they are a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Sweeping the team, was it the best thing? Probably not, but as Daryl Sutter said, and we love Daryl, it was a waste of 8 days because Colorado's that good. St. Louis played 6 games. Their offense looks really good. The difference to me is goaltending, and it's going to come down to Jordan Binnington versus Darcy Kuemper. If Kuemper can find his form like he did at times during the year for the Avalanche, they're going to have a shot. But the fact that Binnington came in against Minnesota, rallied the troops, made the big save, has been there before, was the reason why St. Louis won the Stanley Cup in 2019, among other reasons. Obviously, Ryan O'Reilly stacked 4 lines, good defensively. But Colorado has so much depth in front of Kuemper. But Kuemper, he's had the playoff performances before. But can he do it again? He was doing it with other teams like Arizona, Minnesota. Now the pressure's on him because this group is expected to win. We have to see what Colorado can do facing some adversity, because Ryan O'Reilly has the St. Louis Blues up at the time of this recording, up 1-0 and looking like the better team. The time off for Colorado definitely hurt them, but they have just as much offense as they do defense. Here's the deal with Colorado, though. They need to overcome adversity like Florida did, because you can see with Tampa, we go back to the Lightning. They took the sweep by Columbus, and they've turned that into motivation, and they've turned that into lessons. They've learned how to play the right way. You're going to have to play hard hockey. You're not going to be able to outscore your problems. You have to play defense. You have to face adversity. You need to learn to play the right way. St. Louis faced some against Minnesota. A big reason why they're here is because Kevin Fiala didn't show up for the Wild. Kirill the Thrill, Kaprizov, dollar bill, he got earned his money. Adjustments by Craig Berube, putting the guys in the right position. Kyrou, Thomas, Tarasenko looks good. This team's going to flourish, and they're going to look really good. And this is one of the teams I thought would give Colorado a problem in the playoffs besides the Calgary Flames. I thought St. Louis, if they could get through Minnesota, would give this team a run for their money, and they have. And again, at the time of this recording, it's only 1-0 after the first period. A lot can change. Colorado can find their game. They're going to have to. Nazem Kadri is going to be a difference maker. Cal Makar is probably one of the best defensemen in the league. He can take over a series. Nathan MacKinnon can take over a series. But the way the Blues grind games out and make you work for goals, Colorado's not going to find it as easy as they did against Nashville. Now, granted, Nashville was not playing with UC Soros between the pipes, but still, I think they're going to lose anyway. Maybe a loss in one of those games would have helped them, but it doesn't matter. Let's see what they can do here. It's going to be a long series, but it's going to be a fun one to watch as well. moving back east to New York and Carolina outside the bubble, the rematch outside the bubble. To me, Carolina has the edge because of home ice advantage. You saw what it meant to them in their first round series against Boston. They played like a team possessed at home. They looked better at home than they did on the road. They need to play that same way on the road if they're going to win. Svechnikov, Aho, Trocheck, Max Domi got his first two goals of his career in the playoffs in game seven. He needs to carry that over. Carolina has dominated the Rangers. Go back to the qualifying round. They took them out. The Rangers, they had to come back from a 3-1 deficit. That momentum can carry over into the next round. We've seen it before. That's how they got to the cup final in 2014. I think the biggest thing for the Rangers is they can't make the same mistakes they made against Carolina because Carolina will beat them. Six former Rangers on the Carolina Hurricanes. They're going to be out for some revenge. Tony DeAngelo going back to Madison Square Garden. He's going to hear it from the Garden crowd. He's probably not going to care. But the one advantage the Rangers do have is that vaunted power play because and goaltending. Igor Shesterkin, come game seven against the Pittsburgh Penguins, played outstanding. He played like the Vezina Trophy winner he's going to be, and he shut down the Penguins left and right. Good saves on one end, led to transition goals on the other end. Carolina's penalty kill has to be better. It wasn't good against Boston. The power play was okay. It can be better. The Rangers' power play is really good and starting to click. The thing for me is what do you see and how do you make these adjustments inside the game? The Rangers were dead to rights in game five, up 2-0. Crosby gets knocked out, but the Penguins were still up 2-0. They were down 2-0 in game six. The Penguins took a stupid penalty. Penguins looked to game seven and that helmet rule and this and that. That's not right. The reason the Penguins lost the game, they took stupid penalties and they couldn't hold on to leads. Carolina can hold on to a lead and they're not going to take stupid penalties because Rob Brendamore will not allow that. But if the Rangers team can play like they did towards the end of that series, it's going to be a lot closer than people think. Though Carolina definitely has an edge just based on recent history. And for some reason, the Rangers just don't match up well with Carolina, but they can be there. They have the ability to flip the script. But Carolina was the best team in the Metro Division for a reason. And down the stretch, when they needed those wins to hold on to first place, they were able to do it. Even if they didn't have Frederik Andersen, Antti Raanta was up to the challenge. Home ice is key for them in this series going forward. The final series of the second round is going to be a doozy. The Battle of Alberta, the Calgary Flames taking on the Edmonton Oilers. And that's going to be a fun series to watch. You have four of the top eight goals point getters in the league going head-to-head. Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau taking on Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. We don't know how banged up Leon Draisaitl is because he didn't have a good game seven because of the injury. Connor McDavid, 14 points in the first round of the playoffs in a seven-game series. He took over game six and he took over game seven to guide his Oilers team to the first round, to the second round for the first time since 2017. It was their first round win in a while. They had lost to Chicago. They had lost to Winnipeg. Questions were going to be raised about could this team get it done? Mike Smith gets the shutout. L.A. probably should have won this series, but so should have Edmonton early on after they dominated games two and three. These teams split the season series. Playoff history shows the Battle of Alberta has gone to Edmonton. Those Oilers teams and those Flames teams are a lot different than they are now. Flames team is really good, so is this Oilers team. Jacob Markstrom holds the edge over Mike Smith. That's where the Flames have the edge. They also have the edge with coaching because Darryl's been here before. They also have more depth than the Oilers do. The Oilers need more depth scoring. They just can't rely on Connor all the time because eventually the Flames are going to be able to shut it down with that defense. Markstrom, they're not going to know how to play. The fact that Johnny Gaudreau took over the Dallas series, by the way, tip of the cap to Jake Ottinger, the way he played for the Dallas Stars for making that series go seven. and having the best save percentage and one of the best goals against average in the first round of the playoffs. It's going to be, you know, he's just unreal, and he's a future star in this league, and he's the franchise goalie for the Dallas Stars. They have a nice young core they can build around. As far as the Flames go, the fact that Matthew Tkachuk's on the board, the fact that Johnny Gaudreau's going, Elias Lindholm, Toffoli, they're getting their depth players going. They're physical. It's going to be mean. It's going to be nasty. It should go seven. I don't expect it to go anything less than that. The Flames offense can pepper you, grind you, and get to you. I just don't know if a 41-year-old Mike Smith can hold up through a seven-game series, because Jake Ottinger had to stand on his head to stop this Flames offense that got going from games three through seven, especially in games four and five, late in third periods. Their power play starts to click. Look out. The Flames definitely hold the edge, but obviously when you have the best player in the world on your team, he could take over a game as well. Vander Kane's had a good playoffs. Let's see if they can get more depth scoring. I want to see how this Draisaitl injury affects the Oilers going forward and what they do on a power play. Defensively, you know, they won a game without Darnell Nurse. A lot of intangibles, you know, even out over games. But you know what? It's going to be a fun series. The second round, you know, first round's always the best round to watch. Obviously, ratings-wise, it proved that. The ratings bonanza with all the Game 7s on the weekend. Tip of the cap for the NHL for getting the scheduling right and getting those same Game 7s on a Saturday and Sunday night. The Rangers-Penn series was the most watched series of the playoffs. It was most watched Game 7 since 1994. Top 2.35 million viewers. Really good game. They did 0.80 in 18-49 demo. They're just going to hope for the ratings to continue in the second round. I mean, you know, all five Game 7s topped over the million mark. So kudos to the NHL for getting it right. Not a lot of competition as well. The NHL games on Saturday night went 1-2-3 on cable, according to Showbiz Daily. So a lot of good things happening here with those partners moving into the second round. I think the second round has potential to be better than the first round, just based on matchups. But usually the first round is the best round. So many games, so many factors, but it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see what some of these teams that got eliminated do. There's a lot of question marks around the Penguins, a lot of question marks around Toronto. LA's lost Dustin Brown to retirement. Kudos to him. How does Drew Doughty come back for LA? You know, where do some of these teams go from here? You know, Washington, Pittsburgh bubble is finally closing. What about Boston? Patrice Bergeron going to retire. We'll get to another episode on that as well here on Full Press NHL Podcast. Bring some guests on and talk about, you know, some rumors and the future of some of these teams. But with round two underway, we wanted to get some hockey talk going, more Stanley Cup playoff talk. And, you know, thanks to everybody for tuning in weekly for our Full Press Hockey Weekly Tuesday night show. We just dropped one this Tuesday as well. And it's a brand new episode. Mike Straw is back in the host chair. And it's just a fun show. Check it out. Also, you can find that on Facebook, Twitter as well. Full Press Hockey, Full Press Coverage, and on YouTube. And you've been listening to the Full Press NHL Podcast. I've been your host, Jim Berenger, talking about round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Go check out some of my articles on fullpresshockey.com. I just dropped one about the ratings and the preview of the second round, as well as weekly notebooks. Again, you can find this audio on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts, as well as Full Press NHL on Facebook and Full Press NHL on Twitter. We'll be back for another episode. Have a good day, everybody. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs.